In today's episode, we talk about headlines from Week 8 and discuss rest of season positional rankings.
Welcome to the Coach and Commish Podcast. No, not Adam Gase, and definitely not Roger Goodell. It's Chris and Sean breaking down fantasy football for the everyday man.
Welcome back. You're here with the Coach and Commish. I'm Chris. Sean joining me today. And a little bit of a injury bug coming out from Week 8, changing a little bit of the fantasy football landscape and maybe a little bit of my fandom for my local team.
Yeah, I was going to say, it actually was a pretty good week for injuries. I know as a Vikings fan, it doesn't feel that way.
Right.
But yeah, the big injury to Kirk Cousins, torn Achilles, done for the season. I feel bad for the guy. I feel like he was going to get another contract either with the Vikings or another team. He was playing really well.
He was top three in almost every important, either one, two, or three in every important quarterback statistical category.
Yeah.
Like for fantasy too, he was a man.
You know? And they basically had finally put themselves in the position to where it looked like they were going to be a playoff caliber team. You know, if this had happened in week three or four when they were really down, it would have been like, eh, we weren't going anywhere this season. But they really turned it on after beating San Francisco. So it's an unfortunate one. As far as fantasy goes, the big obvious question, and I'll bring it over to the Minnesota Viking fan. What does this mean for first talk about Jefferson, whether he'll come back and what you think he'll be of value then. And then obviously Addison, who's been a huge part of people's lineups the last few weeks.
So until for Addison in the short, I think he will. They're starting the rookie. We just found out Dobbs has been picked up. You got a trade from Arizona to Minnesota. Addison will probably take just a tick down. Definitely lower end wide receiver two to flex option.
Okay.
Hockenson will be. I don't think Hockenson would change too much because the tight end market is so drastic, like just it's trash.
Yeah.
Right. But Jefferson, I don't know if it's so much the QB play. If Minnesota actually keeps winning by the time he's allowed to come off and he's in, back from his injury, and he might think about playing just because of the competitive nature. Now, that means Addison and Jefferson can't live together, both getting good fantasy points.
That's true.
So it'll be when Jefferson comes back, Jefferson's the man. Addison will be, you know, touchdown dependent.
Yeah.
That Dobbs is not Cousins. He can't feed both of them.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Obviously, it's a huge hit for anybody who has both of those players. Agree mostly with the tight end. I would say it doesn't affect him too much. I think as far as his upside is now, I think he had potential every week to challenge for tight end one. I think now it's just going to be more of a steady, high-targeted.
Yeah.
You'll get yards, and every once in a while you get a touchdown, maybe every 3 weeks or so. But I don't, it's not, like you said, not a huge effect to him. As far as Jefferson, my thought is he's no longer in that elite category. Even if he's the only option, we've seen, you know, really good performances from players with bad quarterbacks or subpar quarterbacks. But I just think this is so much of a downturn that they're going to start running the ball. Defense is playing better. I don't see a way he's a top five guy even when he comes back if things roll well.
Look at Devontae Adams. That was a horrible Monday night we just saw there.
Yeah.
The guy's open almost every single play. And he's got his starting QB back. But if it's when it's poor quarterback play, doesn't matter how great a receiver you are. It's just
the Vikings would probably love to have Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback.
I don't know what Josh McDaniels is doing there. Yeah. It's killing us as fantasy owners. I don't understand how you just look one way and throw it to him. He's going to be open.
So continuing the QB discussion, I have here the headline of the QB shuffle. Not the Cupid shuffle, but the QB shuffle. So we have the Dobbs kind of taking into effect. We also had Levis ball out. I was shocked.
No one saw that.
Yeah, coming. I mean, no one saw that coming, but I still don't believe it personally. I think that it was a kind of coming out party, or not a coming out party, but like a beginner's luck is kind of the way I'll put it. So I don't believe that's what you're going to get from now on. I don't see him as a fantasy option. I think you can be a little more optimistic that he can support maybe Hopkins and give you, you know, every every once in a while if Burks ever becomes anything. But I don't believe that one. What were some other kind of QB stuff that you...
The Falcons right now.
Yeah.
Heineke or Ritter, when it comes to Pitts or, you know, London's not there, but when it comes to the production there offensively for Atlanta, do you root for Heineke to stay in, who we've seen at Washington do something? Or, you know, is keeping up with Ritter? Was Ritter's stats, because he's been throwing kind of high, but it wasn't producing fantasy, like, points for the others.
Yeah, I think that Ritter has elevated his QB play enough that I don't see a huge difference between these two. I think they're both lower tier options for those fantasy players. So I don't see a huge one there. The other one obviously was, I'm blanking on.
Oh, talking Rams.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Stafford. That's who
Stafford's day to day thumb injury. There's like a ligament there. That's, you know, it just takes a little time. You don't know. One day you'll just know you're good enough to grip the football and to play QB. Who do you think will be affected with both Puka and Cooper? Cooper Kupp will be affected while at least one game for Stafford.
Yeah. I'd say that Puka is more in danger. Kupp is just kind of that person that they run plays for specifically. I think that Puka's been fantastic. I don't think he's unstartable, but now he's going to be a much riskier play. Kupp, obviously, everything's a downtick, but I would say that, you know, Kupp will be safer, and we'll see Puka be kind of that. You'll have to actually have the decision in your lineup. Do I want to play him this week?
Right.
Until Stafford's back, I would be extremely happy with the news that's come out so far, though. I think he does come back in a maximum of like 3 weeks.
Right. We got other QB shuffles. Who cares about the Browns, really, when it comes to it? But Kareem Hunt might be someone, like, you probably picked him on when he was added, but now they're going Deshaun Watson. Just, they said that he needs more rest.
Yeah.
The way they said it, it's just, I was, you know, listening to our favorite guys' ballers. It's just hilarious. I don't know what's going on. That's a terrible investment of money. But fantasy impact, if Watson's out again, terrible for Cooper, Amari Cooper owners, but good for Hunt guys. I mean,
yeah.
Then you got the Bears.
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you think there's any fire to the smoke that maybe Badgett, they just hang on and see what Badgett has rest of season and then trade
if
Fields or what goes on with that? It could be that kind of like where they use the injury as an opportunity to kind of sit Justin Fields down for longer than maybe he needed to.
I think there is from the owner and general manager seat. When okay. you're with the team, the coach, the coach is probably going to get fired. So he's trying to win to keep his job or to look good for his next one. But the general manager and all that's like, Caleb Williams, why not see what Badgett can do? We'll lose. Keep. It's not like Fields was the difference maker for them to win games. But yeah, it's there's a lot of backup quarterbacks. Who's starting QB at the Giants? Is Daniel Jones coming back? Because they lost like 9 players.
He'll be back, I think. It was a pretty rough performance there from Mr. Danny DeVito who came in.
I didn't know we had a quarterback named DeVito in the league.
I know. Syracuse guy, actually, yeah. Is what I heard. But bringing it back to the Justin Fields thing. So this next week, they're going to be playing the Saints, I believe. And that I think will be a real test. And if they see enough, I don't think he has to even be that fantastic, but if they stay competitive in that game, that's when I think your situation you're talking about may happen. If he really struggles, I think it'll be too much for them to not bring Justin Fields back in potentially the next couple weeks. So I think this coming week is a big week for Badgett and to see if that's going to be a thing. And Justin Fields owners, luckily he's kind of sitting in that out position at all times, so you can just kind of wait on it. But I wouldn't have any high hopes of getting Justin Fields back to what we had. Unfortunately, I'm one of those, and I don't think that's going
to
happen.
It almost seems to me, and just check my facts here, but it almost seems like there's we have more, you know, flyer QBs in fantasy right now with all these injuries. I mean, if you got like the big three, you're kind of sitting fine, but there's a lot of guys looking at the waiver wire right now saying, Howell? Like, when you know, like who do I start?
It Sam just, Howell now? It just changes so drastically week to week too. Yeah. So, I mean, you look at like a guy that I started this week, CJ Stroud, I think was a consensus pretty great option this week, and went out and pooped the bed and didn't even get a touchdown against the terrible Panthers. And, you know, Dak comes out of nowhere all of a sudden now, and he's looking like a top five option, maybe rest of season. Like, so, yeah, I think you're right that it's kind of those, you have those big three, but the bigger thing is even with the other guys, it's not even being predictable, really. Yeah. It's just all of a sudden one of them will pop off and you'll be like, okay, can I trust this next week?
Right.
I don't know. So I think, yeah, I think there really is an advantage now with, I think, maybe the top four or five guys you can feel really confident in starting every week. So, and the last thing I wanted to bring up here was just because I like annoying LaRoyce with it, but
yes,
the JT Moss split. We would have thought by now that maybe it would be a JT only show going on, but there's still a legitimate split going on. It seemed like JT kind of had control of that end of last game, beginning of this game, but then towards the second half there, it looked like Zach Moss got quite a bit of work on a week that he was injured where I didn't expect to see him as much. Ended up with the better game because of the touchdown, but still getting, you know, over, I think it was 13 or 14 touches because he had 11 carries and a couple of receiving or receptions. But what, I'm biased in this situation, but what do you see? Do you think there's ever going to be the situation where it's just JT, or is this just they're happy with the way these guys are both playing and they're going to use both?
They're happy with how the guys are playing. I said earlier there's a difference between the office spot and the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Sideline's like, they're both going great, we're going good. Owner, GM are like, we just paid that other guy. You know, we just paid him. We paid JT. Make him earn that money.
Yeah.
But the coach is like, they were already having a rookie QB, Minshew's in there. Like, if we control the game on the ground, we might have chances to win. So for fantasy, it kind of sucks. Well, didn't we see JT have like a big run, and who comes in to score the touchdown? I was like, that's the weirdest touchdown vulture thing. It's just, was he tired? Like, could you not give him another touch?
Yeah.
You know, he earned that run, but you know.
Yeah, I do think rest of season it will be a bit of a split. I think it'll be more of an annoyance to JT, and then Moss will kind of be that flex week to week on good matchups. I think you will be able to play him. If I'm the JT owner, and this is obviously seems like I'm trying to get LaRoyce to take Moss off my hands, but I think it's kind of the situation where if you can get the other guy and then flex Moss week to week, I think you're going to just be happy because they have a pretty great schedule rest of season and they're running the ball a lot. So I think you're just going to get good production if you put them both in.
I think you can get like a bottom line 10 to 12 points each week from both guys.
Yeah.
One's going to get more on yards and maybe catches, and the other's going to score in the roll.
Somebody's getting a touchdown every week, I feel like, because Minshew's not vulturing any of that.
And right now, with the injuries and the effect of, like, we just talked about quarterback play, flex play has become, we got guys starting two tight ends in a lineup.
Yeah.
Trying to find flex points. So that's not a bad idea, LaRoyce.
All right, so rest of season, let's kind of blow through this. We spent a lot of time on the news there, so sure maybe we'll go a little quicker. We're going to do the top three in each position and kind of give you, it's almost like a redraft to say, like, if we were giving our pre-draft rankings of a draft that started tomorrow, how would we rank these guys? A lot of them are going to be your usual, but I think we have a few kind of hot takes inside of here. So why don't you take the quarterbacks and start us off?
All right, so QB going 1, 2, and 3 down, we would rest the season Josh Allen at 1, Jalen Hurts at 2, and then Tua Tagovailoa at 3. Rest of season, two of these guys are in the same division. Does division come into play just because of the rest of the season and strength of schedule when it comes to Tua and Josh Allen, along with their talents?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be too much of a fantasy issue with that. The reason, so I, you know, the Dolphins fan, I put Tua in here at 3 just to
tell, I don't disagree with you. Not bad.
I just think that the discussion was probably between Tua and Mahomes there, and the other two guys, to me, Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, they're really easy to feel comfortable every week because they have the upside of their passing game and they run the ball.
Yeah.
And it's really weird this year because I guess Lamar is still sticking around, but besides that, we don't really have a lot of running quarterbacks. Like, it seems like we've been trending towards getting a lot of options where you could just put a guy in and have that floor. But a lot of them have gotten hurt with, you know, Anthony Richardson and Justin Fields. So I think that those guys are just so safe. They're easy to put 1 and 2. And then between Mahomes and Tua, the weapons to Tua are just too good, and you have too many opportunities on any given play for Waddle or Tyreek Hill to just take it to the house. And that, to me, is where I think And then the other side of it would be Patrick Mahomes' defense. It's just been too good.
He doesn't have to do as much.
Yeah. And the run game's being effective. So I just, as we get into the colder months, I think Andy Reid will take advantage of that, use his defense, use a run game. And then I just think that Tua has that more explosiveness that you would want. Yeah,
Mahomes' receivers don't have hands.
Yeah.
It's really good. Before we move to wide receiver, I would also throw Burrow's looking kind of nice. He might be able to take over that three spot as well. So let's move to wide receivers. Tyreek at number one. I traded him away in dynasty.
That to me is like a tear break there.
It is. And then it goes down, you know?
He is just, I mean.
Yeah, who you got at number three could keep taking giant steps, but we go Tyreek, Chase, AJ Brown. Talk to us here. Your thought process. I do agree one is by himself, but two and three here.
Yes, we've got, you know, two of the weapons or two of the top three quarterbacks' weapons, as in Tyreek and AJ Brown for Hurts. And Chase, I think, is safe now that it looks like Burrow is fully healthy. He's actually running the ball quite a bit. He's established as the number one. I don't think it's a big debate of, you know, Higgins some week might take it from him. I think Chase is just going to have it, and then Higgins in good matchups is going to have explosion games. AJ Brown, man, I played against him this week, and so, he is unbelievably strong.
Like, are you mad if you're a Devontae Smith owner? You're like, wait, this is supposed to be split up here, guys. Why is it going all to AJ?
I mean, if I'm watching the game, I can't be mad looking at the way that AJ Brown plays. If I'm Jalen Hurts, I feel a lot more confident throwing that ball up to a contested catch when it's AJ freaking Brown up there. I also would not want to play against AJ Brown because I feel like he has offensive pass interference on every play, but maybe nobody, it's just so big and he's just, it seems like he's pushing a guy around when he's really just barely taking a hand.
Yeah, that's just his tricep, you know, flexing and the guy's popping off of him.
Yeah, can't tell you how many ones I was like, throw the flag. Oh, OP.
All right, so I can't argue with any of those. I think that's just a strong receiver group there. And the running backs, there's a theme here at the RBs. McCaffrey at one, Eckler at two, Kamara at three. It seems like if you want a running back to carry you to the playoffs in fantasy, they've got to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the case. Obviously, McCaffrey was an easy choice. The other ones, I think it's come into more clear standing here in the last 2 weeks. But before this, I think it would have been very difficult to pick a number two in that spot. JT, it may have been an option, but I just feel, like you said, the catching and the workload. To me, the surprise one is really Kamara. I didn't expect him to just come on. It's not even that he's playing that great. It's just he's going to get 20 to 30 opportunities every game.
It doesn't even look like he'll get close to 80 yards rushing. It's like Carr just has to find him. Carr can't trust Olave.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. So he just throws it right to Kamara, and it's
he's saving your awesome fantasy season right
he
now.
Sure is. With my injuries, Kamara has been amazing.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I am with that. And I think Eckler's kind of past the ankle injury. That was a concern. I traded for him, so thank God that's not a concern anymore.
It was this past week finally gave it. We were able to breathe because we were wondering about Eckler. But even just one game, we're like, yes, we believe he can do it the rest of the year.
The other guy that I think we left out that I think should at least be brought up is Travis Etienne. Do you feel like he deserves to be in this conversation, maybe even take the spot of any of these guys, or do you think he's still just a bit below that?
I don't believe it. Like, his numbers are good.
Touchdowns, man.
Yeah, they just can't keep going. So many touchdowns he's getting. It's like the same thing CMC's doing, but he's not getting the workload and touches like McCaffrey. So I don't believe it. I feel like he's one of those guys, if you better sell now
That's a question. Later. So on a bye week, somebody who thinks that maybe, I know it's hard because Eckler did have a good game, but would you make that trade? Would you go send ETN for Eckler for rest of season?
If
Eckler's passed his bye and then, you know, ETN's on his bye week this week.
The problem is Eckler's division. I mean, not Eckler's division, ETN's division.
Okay.
So you're looking at least three games against matchups where it might be good for him, right? Tennessee, Houston, and Indianapolis. So depending on how that shapes out for like the playoff schedule, people might hold on.
Yeah. So yes or no? Would you?
I wouldn't. I would have to keep ETN. As much as I don't
believe
it.
It's close enough to where you don't want to be.
You don't want the trade. One that sends the bag over like, oh, he's still doing great. What did I do that for? Yeah.
And then tight end, you know, 1 and 2, I don't think we need to talk much about. Kelce and Andrews, they're always here. But number 3, a little bit of a shock and maybe a change based on some earlier news. I think I probably would have had Hockenson here at 3, but Laporta, your savior there at tight end.
Laporta and Kamara, right? Yeah. Are amazing right now. Laporta, even with Hockenson maybe coming back in, they would have been like neck to neck. A rookie tight end balling out. It's Iowa tight ends, man. Hockenson, Kittle, him, outside of Noah Fant, those three. Laporta has stepped in. It looks like a seasoned pro. And I think the Lions are looking for someone to throw the ball to outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Laporta showing last night, the guy, it looks like a Kelce 2.0. He might be the next stud everyone's looking for as a new tight end one.
Yeah, to me, it's the targets, man.
Yeah.
You can't get over the target count here. So he's got his last 3 weeks, 11, 7, and 10 targets for a tight end. That's unbelievable. And I think he's going to be so safe. He's had 2 weeks under, 3 weeks under like 10 points. The rest have just been over. And that offense is good.
Yeah, watching last night's game, they're saying how much they split him out, bring him inside. He's got that learning curve already. He's past the learning curve for a rookie tight end. You know, we're waiting for Dalton Kincaid, who's got the opportunities, but like he's probably still learning all the nuances of being a tight end in the NFL. Laporta looks like he knew the answers to the test first year. So it's pretty awesome to watch. It's not lucky like targets. He's legit.
All right, and then last we're going to cover a sleeper fantasy MVP rest of season. So this is kind of we don't want to take from, you know, maybe the top.
These are some deep
24
names
in each position.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to let you start it off first, being a homer.
Homer pick. Well,
who you got? And I'm happy because he's on my team and I've wanted to drop him so many times.
The sleeper pick for rest of season, I had to go with Sir Cameron Akers.
Yeah, other people like Leroy Smart remember last year when he came out of nowhere and won some championships.
Well, you know, it's still his contract year. Kirk Cousins is down. They're going to have to run the ball, no matter what Dobbs or Hall, the rookie QB. Akers looks better than Madison. He just does.
That's what I was going to ask. I haven't watched a lot of Minnesota games besides the primetime ones. So you think that on the field it's looking like, especially a guy who's only been there a couple weeks, you think he's playing better running back football?
Yeah, he's running tougher and he's quicker than Madison. Madison's so big, but he doesn't look tougher than Akers. So I think you're going to see Akers going to be able to take even almost up to a 70-30 split in the backfield.
I like that. Don't tempt me with a good time.
Now, what about you? This is a name that we would love to see true.
People have probably gotten this guy off of waiver wires a couple times this year, and I know Tim will be happy, but Rashee Rice, to me, the opportunity is there. This isn't a lock. Again, these are pretty deep. We went.
Yeah, we kept scrolling. Like, nope, can't use that name. Nope, keep going.
I just think that the opportunity is there that somebody has to take that wide receiver one role. And if they want to have a playoff run, I think they need to figure this out before they get to the playoffs. And Rashee Rice, to me, is the guy who's looked the best. He's had some rough games. He's a rookie, so you're going to see that. But I think as his snaps increase, he's somebody. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Tyreek Hill, but I think he can be like a solid wide receiver too for people that have picked him up off of waivers in the last few weeks.
Yeah, these are both flex options.
Yeah,
that are going to boom for you and carry you some victories the rest of the season. We're not saying they're wide receiver one, RB1 status type players. But yeah, you look at every championship team, we always see a sleeper that just, you know, comes in there as your darling for the rest of the season. Then we look back 4 years later, I'm like, who is that guy? Is he even in the league? Maybe not.
But all right, and then I'm going to throw a curveball at you here, but maybe I'll go first. I want to talk a little bit about our league here. Who's somebody who's not in the playoffs now that you think still has a chance to win that championship? I have bumped down to the 7 spot, so I won't talk about myself, and I think that's probably too much of a... Choosing the 7th guy isn't really a fun thing to do, so maybe it's not me. But we got to figure out who do we think the rest of the season has a shot who's currently lower down on the totem pole. So I'm going to start off, and I believe Joe is still, yeah, so Joe is still outside of the top, the being into the playoffs. And to me, Brian Robinson is kind of scary, but if Gibbs really comes on, which I think they're going to, I think David Montgomery comes back, keeps his role, but I think we do see more touches for Gibbs. And then St. Brown, having those pieces in that Detroit offense is, I think is just going to continue to roll is great. Mike Evans, I think he can be fantastic. The place he's going to really struggle, you know, tight end losing Waller, that sucks. But
it does. Yeah.
It's, I don't know. To me, you just go find somebody else to put in there. and then he's got Kyler, who, you know, we considered as a kind of second half sleeper MVP. So who knows what could happen with Kyler, and he's somebody who could do great. So I think that the league has kind of divided itself, and it does seem like a pretty strong top half. So this is a difficult question, but I'd kind of like Joe's team, which kills me because he's in my division, to make a run in the second half.
I agree with you. I think our division, we should change it in from Charles Barkley. Is like, we're right in the middle. We're lukewarm. Okay. We're 6, 7, 8, and 9 right now as the season goes. So I'm actually looking at my brother. Okay. I'm staying in that division because some of the guys who are down toward the bottom, it might be too far for them to get there. So who's going to sneak in? I love the top heaviness of our league too, but the Mike's team with Kenneth Walker, Kareem Hunt, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs.
If Olave can figure it out, man.
That's what I'm like. Guys I can depend on. Olave and Carr need to go out to dinner and like make up, okay? Because I don't like when I watch a QB screaming at a wide receiver on the sideline or coming off the field. Have you seen that lately?
Yeah.
It's just so weird.
It is.
That's your star receiver. That means if your QB's yelling at you like that, you must be doing something wrong.
And then he's got on his bench, I think he's got some really great options here with Chris Godwin. Dalton Kincaid can be his kind of tight end rest of season. And then Roshan Johnson, you don't know what's going to happen there, but he could really take over that backfield and be a great asset. So I agree. I actually like yours a little better now that I look through it. But those are our two guys. If you guys have any thoughts for us, let us know. Rest of season. If you have a hot take, let us know. And then who's gonna do it? Who's gonna win this Super Bowl? You guys let us know.
Dinner rolls. I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Till next time.
Deuces.
Thanks for listening to the Coach and Commish podcast. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Coach and Commish. And join our Facebook group called Fantasy Football Advice with the Coach and Commish for direct access to weekly waiver wire and start sit advice.